This morning we conclude looking at the book of 1 John. We've spent the last now 8 weeks looking at 1 John. Hopefully you've had the opportunity to read and reread it throughout these 8 weeks, remembering that I was inviting us to go deeper into our faith. Perhaps you remember that what sort of spurred that in my soul was listening to Mike Slaughter, the pastor at Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church, preach. And Mike, one of the things that Mike said is that the people around us are only willing to go as deep as we ourselves are willing to go. The people around us are only willing to go as deep as we ourselves are willing to go. And so I wanted us to spend some time thinking about what it meant to go deep. To go deep in our faith. And for 8 weeks, we've journeyed together through the book of 1 John, thinking about the depth that we are invited into in order that we might live our faith and that we might share that faith with the world around us. I invite you to look with me in your bulletin to the scripture that Lathan read to us just a few moments ago. We've heard this each week for the last 8 weeks, and I would love for us to read it together. So it's 1 John 2, 24 through 25, and it's the way the Message interprets this. If you'll read with me together. Stay with what you heard from the beginning, the original message. Let it sink into your life. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both Son and Father. So our journey has been to find the depth of God's love and the depth that we have the opportunity to live into that love. This morning, we're going to look at deep certainty. And I invite you to turn with me in 1 John chapter 5. I'll begin at verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Will you hear now God's word? And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you so that you can believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the requests made of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask and God will give life to such a one of those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. But there is sin that is not mortal. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who was born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. We know that we are God's children, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength. And our salvation. Amen. Some of you may remember that I was trained in the sciences. My undergraduate degree from Meredith College is a Bachelor of Science degree in biology. So I spent a number of hours in biology classrooms, in chemistry classrooms, in microbiology classrooms, in organic chemistry classrooms. I spent a lot of time being trained in science. And when one is trained in science, there are lots of certainties. You see, in science, if you do this and this, you get this. And A plus B equals C. And even if you have this unknown in science, like we had to do in microbiology to figure out what the unknown was, there was still a right pattern that if you did this, and you did this, and you did this, then you were able to figure out your unknown. It was certain. There was fact. There was truth. It was right or it was wrong. And so being trained in that kind of thinking for 4 years in an undergraduate degree, I held strong that there were truths in life. There were realities. There were things that I knew for certain. I loved knowing that I had memorized some facts. And I had tucked those facts away back in the depths of my mind, and I knew for certain that they were true. And then I entered into a world at Duke Divinity School where everything in theological education wasn't exactly A plus B equals C. I'd been writing in such a way that you were always striving to get to the end, to find the truth, to find the right answer, to find the certainty. And when I stepped into the world of theological education at Duke, it wasn't like that. When I stepped into the world, into the realm of faith, and dug deeply into my understanding of who God is and who God calls me and each of us to be, it wasn't so A plus B equals C as my science background has trained me to be. And yet in the midst of days that sometimes felt extremely uncertain, there were certainties that I could cling to. There are certainties in your days when life feels so extremely uncertain and is falling apart around you. There are certainties that you can cling to, even in your faith. So I invite us to think for just a few moments about the audience that was hearing these words in 1 John. The people who were hearing the letter written by John, what was going on in their lives? The world was under pagan rule. So a world of God's rule was not the rule of the world. It was pagan gods. And so all sorts of things were infiltrating into the people who called themselves children of God. The Jewish people who had been trained in the faith and had been the parts of the early formation of what we now call the Christian church, they'd scattered all across the world. And the Christian church was beginning to be formed and given birth. And the Christian church was misunderstood. And the Christian church was persecuted. There were people who were martyred for their faith. They were martyred because they stood up for what they believed was certain and true. At this time, when the writer of 1 John was writing, there were only a few eyewitnesses to Jesus the Christ that were left living. Most had died and gone on to eternity, but a few eyewitnesses remained. And if you remember, several weeks ago, we talked about a lot of the false teachings that were going on at this time. And one of those false teachings you might remember was about Jesus himself, that there was no way that Jesus could be fully human and fully divine. Remember, we dug deep and we looked at the deep truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if Jesus Christ is Lord, then the false teaching that was going on at that time was exactly that. It was a lie. It was a fault. And remember, the book of John called the people who were teaching this the Antichrist, because they were teaching something that was against Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is fully human. Jesus is fully divine. And so the teachings that were going on around them were confusing. Confusing to the people of God as they were trying to live out their faith. Many followers of Jesus that found themselves in the audience that 1 John was first written to were so overwhelmed. They were so overwhelmed by all the voices that called their truth into question. They began to doubt. And they began to think that the world, perhaps, that they understood and knew was falling apart. They were anxious. They were afraid. Fear was at the heart of every one of their motives. Friends, I find that this historical background is not so different from our own current context. We call ourselves American Christians. Those of us sitting in these pews who are members of this church, we call ourselves American United Methodist Christians. And we live in a country that is terribly divided. Terribly divided. Each side of the divide is screaming loudly that they are right and that they occupy the truth. We find ourselves as American United Methodist Christians in a denomination. In a denomination that's squabbling over any number of particular issues. One of those being issues surrounding human sexuality. There are voices that cry out for scriptural holiness. And voices that cry out for justice. And again, we see the divide. And each one thinks they are right. Perhaps we don't see martyrs in our current United Methodism, our American United Methodism context. Maybe we don't see martyrs on a daily basis, people that are being killed for their faith. And yet, brothers and sisters feel persecuted daily by the words that we speak, by the things that we post, by the secret conversations and the hidden agendas that alienate, exclude, and divide. Just like the writer of 1 John, false teaching and gossip abound in our American United Methodism context. Politics and religion have become so intertwined in current American Christianity that the message of the gospel often gets overlooked because we are interpreting our faith through social media, Fox News, and CNN. We aren't looking to the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Our journey to go deeper into our faith these last 8 weeks have confronted us to look exclusively at the book of 1 John that John Wesley, our founder of a Methodist faith, called a deep compendium of genuine Christianity. We might find ourselves in a situation that's not so unique from the early Christian community because we too feel doubt. We are anxious. We feel as if what we knew to be true is falling apart, and we are afraid, and we act out of fear. This morning, we are invited to think about deep certainty. Certainty is the firm conviction that comes when something is the case or the truth. Firm conviction that something is in fact the truth. Over and over again in 1 John chapter 5 verses 11 through 20, we heard this phrase, so that we may know. So that we may know. Or sometimes it was simply written, we know. In fact, if you've read the entire book of 1 John, this is a phrase that's repeated over and over again. So that we may know. 1 John, the writer of 1 John is pointing us to what is certain. What is a conviction that something is the truth. The word here, so that you may know, or so that you know, or we know, is a state of knowing. It's not the process of knowing. It's a state of knowing. Let me clarify. So I know that I am the mother to Ella, Maddie, and Kate. I know this. I know this because I held them in utero and I brought them into this world. I know without a certainty that I am their mother. It is certain. It is the truth. Different than me saying, I know what it means to be a mother. You see, that's something that's a process that's always changing. I know what it means to be a mother. That's still developing. It's further, forever changing. When they were infants and I held them in their arms and they cried out to me, I knew one thing to do for them. And as the twins on the brink of turning 11 asked me these really challenging, hard questions, I know something different about being a mother. So the writer of 1 John is talking about the kind of knowing that is certain and true. I know that I am the mother of Ella, Maddie, and Kate. That is certain and that is true. I know that as a fact. I know that I am a Christian. I know that to be certain and true. I know that I am a Christ follower. That is certain and true. But I'm forever learning to know what it means to be living into the Christian faith. Do you understand the difference? Do you hear the difference that the writer of 1 John is talking about? It's not the things that might change with the situations of life. The things that we might know today that perhaps tomorrow are known in a different way to us or in years from now are known in unique and creative and new ways. That's not the kind of knowing that 1 John is speaking of. 1 John is speaking, and we know these things that are certain and that are true. It reminds me of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. You know this verse by heart, many of you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so in verse 13 of 1 John, we read, so that we may know we have eternal life. Friends, God gave us eternal life. This life, this thing that we call eternal life, is Jesus the Christ himself. God gave us Jesus. God gave us life. God gave us eternal life. Some people might claim that eternal life is simply something in the future. It's something to be obtained when you make your passage from this side of eternity to the next. When you've got your ticket and you're full in Jesus' face, that is eternal life. This is not the kind of eternal life that we subscribe to, or that the writer of 1 John subscribes to. Because the writer of 1 John says that we have eternal life. Not we will get eternal life, but we have it. So that we may know we have eternal life. It is certain. It is true. We have it. When we've invited Jesus the Christ to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, we have eternal life. It is the deep certainty on which our faith should be grounded, that we have eternal life. Eternal, it's about the quantity. It's about forever. It's about today, tomorrow, and every day after that, and all the days to come. It is forever. It passes time. It surpasses time. Eternal, it's quantity. And friends, it's also quality. The word life itself implies quality. Life. Remember deep joy? Way back 8 weeks ago, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Eternal life is about quality. It's about quantity forever, but it's also about quality. It's as if I said to the children, this is not life. This is not life. firing off that quick text, posting the nasty social media post. This is not life. We, in the book of 1 John, ends this way, speaking about this kind of life that we hold. This eternal life is moral life. We're born of God. We're born of God, and the writer says to us in verse 18, in the NRSV, it says that those of us who are born of God do not sin. Well, the NIV, I think, probably captures a little bit better what the writer was meaning, because the NIV, if you have an NIV translation, it says does not continue to sin. So those of us who are born of God do not continue to sin, because the one born of God, Jesus the Christ, protects us. Jesus the Christ paves a way for forgiveness. So for us to have eternal life means that our moral life, the way we behave, the way we act, the way we interact with people, the way we treat people, should be that that reflects eternal life. That we are born of God. And then in verse 19, we hear our identity. Our identity, those of us who have eternal life, are identified as children of God. Children of God, we have a parent, we have a relationship. That gives us life. We have an identity. Eternal life speaks to our morality. Eternal life speaks to our identity. And eternal life in verse 20 speaks to the role of Jesus the Christ. Jesus has come into the world that we may know him, that we may know him, and we may live in him. When we know him who is true, we know God, and we have eternal life. Friends, these are the deep certainties. In a world that seems to be falling apart, in the midst of all of the anxiety, in all the things that we can say that we cannot know, we can say for certain that we have eternal life. And when we have eternal life, it makes all the difference in how we live. I'm aware, you're aware, that violence, natural disasters and accidents happen every single day. We're aware that bad things happen to good people. We're aware that suffering abounds around us. We live in a world that's polarized, and we do harm to one another. As American United Methodist Christians, I realize that the sheer mention of the phrase human sexuality and the various perspectives that we all inhabit create anxiety in our midst. I realize that knowing that our denomination is planning a special session in February of 2019 creates fear and anxiety. I realize that we have questions, concerns, fears, hopes, and unknowns. And the one thing that I can tell you for certain is that we have a God that gave us Jesus the Christ. And when we have Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And so we face all of that unknown with assurance. With assurance in quantity and in quality. Friends, it makes a difference how we live our lives. When we know that we have eternal life, we don't look with dread to all the unknowns and all the things that we can't predict. And we don't look to try to get our agenda promoted or try to get everybody on our side or feel our way. Because we know that we have eternal life. And our deep certainty is found in Jesus the Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came, says Jesus, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am convinced, says Paul, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything, not a political party, not a theological perspective, not the hatred that we feel, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus the Lord. That is deep certainty. And it makes a difference in how we live our lives. If you follow me on social media, you'll know that our family spent the last week in Aruba. And Kevin offered a challenge to me early in that trip that we should go parasailing. I think he didn't think I would take him up on that opportunity. I think he thought I would say, no way. Remember, you know I might have some control issues. And yet I embraced it. I was excited, and even when Kevin was ready to back out, there sat Ella and I in the boat saying, absolutely not, we are going to do it. And friends, hooked onto the back of that boat, as I lifted and was suspended high up into the air, the wind beating on my back, the sun shining down with my arms wide open, looking at God's amazing creation, I was reminded that we have eternal life. We can choose to embrace that life, or we can choose to make ourselves miserable. What if we spent more of our time embracing the eternal life that God offers, rather than choosing a side or choosing an agenda, but we simply floated free through the power of the Holy Spirit and embraced our brothers and our sisters around us? What if instead of talking about each other, we actually sat and talked with each other? We embraced that we have eternal life. I hope we find ourselves living deeply, freed amazingly to live into the eternal life God offers us today. Some of you aren't smiling. We have eternal life, friends. Eternal life. That is where I'll hold my deep certainty. And I hope you'll do the same. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.